Throughout Scripture, the nation of Israel is spoken of as the number one time clock for the end times. Today, Billy Brim is Gloria Copeland's special guest as they continue their study of the events surrounding Israel in the end times. Next, here on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Now, let's join Gloria Copeland.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We are talking about the sign of the times. You know, you need to know. Jesus said we need to know the signs of the times. And so we have Billy Brim with us from Prayer Mountain of the Ozarks, who keeps up with all the times.
That's right.
And she's here with us, and we're glad, Billy. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. And you know, one of the things we're doing and offering this week is tapes from our School of Eschatology. And that's a long name for studying the last thing, studying the end times. And I just wanted to say that next month, July, in Branson, we will be having our Eschatology 1 school and Eschatology 2. And to come to Eschatology 2, you have to have completed Eschatology 1. We're really going to get into some things.
Wow, good.
Dig up some things, see what's happening in the newspaper that we saw predicted in the Bible.
Very interesting.
For these times that we live in.
Is everybody invited?
Everybody is invited. We have a school-type session. I absolutely love it. I teach all day long. You know, I always wanted to be a third-grade teacher until I upped my goals and wanted to be a fifth-grade teacher. So when I'm standing in front of that classroom, it's like I'm living in my dream.
Well, how fun.
And we have a lot of fun, and the students have a lot of fun, and they all loved it last year. Good. When we had our first one.
Right.
So in July, we'll be having the two schools of eschatology in Branson.
Right.
So we invite you to come. And now we're going to be looking at the signs of the times again today. And when you look at the signs of the times, you have to know that the number one time clock that you watch is Israel. Jesus said right here in Luke 21, they asked him, what is the sign of your coming? And he said, watch the fig tree, verse 29. And the fig tree is Israel. And you can tell that from Joel 1:7 and other scriptures. But the Bible speaks of Israel as being the fig tree. And so to watch Israel, the Bible has this God's dealings with Israel. And you can tell where you are by this time clock. Number one, this tells how he did it with Israel, his dealings with Israel. First, there was the choosing of Israel, the blessing of Israel. Remember we said where Abraham mm-hmm. was blessed, the bringing into the land. They were brought into the promised land. But then there was the scattering or the diaspora. And then God said, after they are scattered, that he will ingather them and bring them back, the ingathering, then the restoration and the redemption of Israel. So you're telling where you are on God's time clock by what's happening. The choosing, the blessing, the bringing into the land, the scattering, the ingathering, the restoration, and the redemption. Thank God we don't live when Israel was scattered. We are living when they're ingathered, and that's the biggest sign of the soon return of the Lord. Bless
God.
God. Hallelujah. Now, we said about Israel, this chosen nation. Remember yesterday that we said all the nations were in rebellion. They were supposed to go throughout the whole earth, occupy the earth, replenish it, but they went to the land of Shinar, present-day Iraq, Babylon, and there they erected the tower. And then God spread them throughout the earth. Then he brought forth a chosen nation, the choosing of Israel, the chosen nation, the seed of Abraham, to minister and to show God, to enlighten the nations by manifesting God. Plan A for Israel was that he put them in a little crossroads between the three continents. And we showed that ancient map that was found, like three petals of a flower, and one petal being Europe, one being Asia, and one being Africa. And right in the center is Jerusalem. So the nations, when they would come for battle or when they would come for trade, would march through this little land bridge. And they were supposed to see Deuteronomy chapter 28, the blessing chapter. This was God's plan. He blessed them with prosperity, with health. Mm-hmm. The nations would come through and they were supposed to see their God is the true God. Jehovah is the true God.
It would have been easy to see if they'd been living in the blessing, because the blessing was so pronounced.
It was pronounced.
You couldn't have gone through there and not thought about it.
And nobody else had it.
That would have been a great evangelism tool.
They were the only ones on the whole earth that would have had that blessing.
That's right.
So everybody coming through could see it. God's blessings upon them. However, he said, if you don't obey me, and then we're going to have the scattering. And the scattering is going to be to every nation of the whole earth. And so that scattering had happened, first through the Babylonians. We'll study more about this tomorrow. Then it went right on down through Rome, when Rome scattered them in 70 AD. This is the great times of the Gentiles. This is the diaspora, the scattering. But God's word says that he's going to bring them back. And when he brings them back, it's going to be a sign that we're in the last days and that the kingdom of God's about to be set up, the visible kingdom upon the earth. So we're going to look a little bit at the Bible promises of the ingathering. And let's turn to Jeremiah. This is a great place to look. Jeremiah. These chapters are a book within a book. And Jeremiah was a prophet, you know, and he was prophesying before they were carried away into the Babylonian captivity. And but he did prophesy the greater carrying away and the greater in bringing. When they came back from Babylonian captivity, the Bible says 42,000 and a few hundred came back. But when the Bible says Judea or Judah and Israel will return, they're speaking of the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. So that's what we see here in a book within a book, Jeremiah 30 and 31. You can read it and you can easily find out about God's promises concerning the ingathering of Israel.
So are these scriptures talking about both the Babylonian captivity?
Yes,
and
the whole time of the Gentiles, the whole captivities, the incoming. We'll look at it when we get right to the verse a little bit closer.
I was wondering about that yesterday.
Now, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 10. And this is a key word. Remember we said there's three groups of peoples, the Jews, the nations, and the church. The Jews and Israel are called to bring God's light to the nations. So God's going to tell to the nations, here's what I want you to watch in Israel. So look here at verse 10 of Jeremiah 31:10. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations. He's calling them to listen. Listen up, nations. And declare it in the isles afar off and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him. So he scattered Israel and he will gather him. And not only that, he will keep him. He will guard him as a shepherd does his flock. So God's in the business of watching over Israel. We've come to the part now where he's gathered them back, gathering them back home, and then he's watching over them.
And it would be good for the United States to realize they're one of these nations.
Oh, brother, the United States of America.
We should not try to scatter but gather.
And that's exactly right. If you're a nation, if you're a leader of a nation, you're out there. If you're a senator, if you're a congressman, I'm so proud of our Congress. They really do well by Israel. We need to know. We need to bless what
that's
God's
right.
doing
Amen.
With Israel. Nations always have to bless what God is doing in his plan. They got in trouble in the first time for rebelling against God's plan. Now we've got to work with God's plan to know blessing.
That's right.
So here is the book within a book. Let's read it, just what it says. The word of the Lord, chapter 30, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah. Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. This is a book within a book. These two chapters make up the book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah. Now this answers that question you ask, and it's a wonderful question. Because the nation, you remember after Solomon died, his boys had like a parting of the ways. And one of them took the northern kingdom, the ten tribes of the north, and they made themselves a capital in the land of Ephraim, in the north of Israel, and they were called by the Bible after that Israel. Then the southern kingdom is called Judah, and they kept their capital in Jerusalem. The sin of the northern kingdom was so great that 200 years before the Babylonians came and carried off Judah, the Assyrians came and carried off the northern kingdom. And the northern 10 tribes, we haven't really traced them down through the centuries. That for that reason, they're called the lost tribes of Israel. But they're not lost to God. And now some of them are coming home. Interesting stories, how they're coming from Peru and other places where they've been found. But here he prophesies, there will be the coming home of both parts, the northern part Israel and the southern part Judah. So this is not just speaking about when they came in from Babylonian captivity with only, what was it, 42,300 people. I'm not sure about the hundreds, but I am about the 42,000. So this is the great ingathering. Most of the Jews stayed in Babylon. when they came back and built the second temple. So these are the words. And let's go down to verse 10. You read every verse, but we're going to go now to verse 10. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all the nations where I have scattered you. Now, at first it was, you know, the northern kingdoms went to all the nations, and then Judea went to Babylon. Whether I have scattered you, yet I will not make a full end of you. Now, they have known judgment. That was the scattering. But he didn't make a full end of them. He's kept them, miraculously kept them through all this time. But I will correct you in measure, and I will not leave you altogether unpunished. And he tells that they're coming home, and he's telling that they're getting their land back and that they will always exist before him. You'll have a marvelous time reading these chapters. But there is something introduced here that we need to touch on, because we're going to be talking about nations. We're going to be talking about Europe. We're going to be talking about the seat of the Antichrist. I say, how did Brussels get to be so lucky that they get to be the seat of the Antichrist? I mean, something's got to happen. God just doesn't say, pink. We're going to pick Brussels. Put a blindfold around him, and like we used to play pinatel on the donkey. Things happen to qualify you to be the seat and the activity of the Antichrist. And so we're going to talk about that tomorrow and the next day. But this is something, a principle of God we need to introduce right here. Verse 16. Therefore, now we better tie this on into verse 11. I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered you. How the nations treated the Jews when they were scattered among them determines their end, their judgment, whether they will be around in the millennial age. Every nation as a nation, not individuals within the nation, but as a nation, knows their judgment on how they treated Israel during the dispersion and then later during the tribulation time. So he says he might make a full end of some of those nations, and of course there are some we'll never see again. Verse 16, therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee I will give for a prey. Now remember the blessing upon Abraham? He said, those that bless you, I will bless. Those that curse you, I will curse. Here's a little bit more elaboration on the cursing of God against nations who mistreat Israel. And Israel itself is going to be restored unto health. For I will restore health unto thee, I will heal thee of thy wounds, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeks after. And then he says, I will bring again the captivity, and I will bless Israel. But look about those that oppressed Israel. Verse 20. Their children also shall be as before time. That's the nation of Israel. Their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. You don't want to have God the Creator against you as a person or as a nation. So a good assurance to be knowing the blessings of God for nations is to bless Israel as God's bringing them in, and not fight the ingathering.
Right.
Not try to divide up the land and say it belongs to someone else. And he speaks to Israel, verse 22, and he says, you shall be my people and I will be your God. Now, the way that it was supposed to work in the scattering is given to us in God's plan for the scattering is given to us in Jeremiah 29. This is how it was to work when they were scattered out among the nations. This is God's will. And so before they go into Babylonian captivity, he tells them what is his perfect will. Verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem, first off into Babylon. Build you houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, and that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. I was in Australia, Rosh Hashanah, the head of the Jewish year, 2003. And I have some very dear friends there, the rabbi and his wife of the synagogue. So we went to their synagogue for Rosh Hashanah, and they invited us to their home for dinner. Well, I think it was the Saturday before the Rosh Hashanah, but the Shabbat. I'm sitting there, and it's all in English because they're Australians. Even though the rabbi and his wife are Israelis, they speak and do everything in English. So I'm hearing him, and he starts praying for the Queen of England. He starts praying for Charles, Prince Charles. He starts praying for William and Harry. And I'm sitting there. So at dinner, you know, after that, I said to the rabbi, I noticed you praying for them. He said, oh, we're instructed to. He said, we always are to pray for those in authority over us, wherever we are in the diaspora, that we can have peace. Well, doesn't that match what
yes,
God tells us
right.
over in Timothy?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, pray for those kings. And it was Nero at the time. It was terrible kings. But there's something about our prayers and their prayers. We're both covenant people of God, which can have something to do with our nation, even if we don't have the best of leaders. Now, I'm believing God for the very best of leaders,
yes,
but we can
are.
Still pray those prayers.
That's good.
So this was God's will for them in captivity. Now, the nations didn't behave like this. They didn't act right. So we see in Zechariah, and let's turn over to Zechariah chapter 1, and we're going to see how they did behave in captivity. The nations. Chapter 1 of Zechariah. And I am very sore displeased. Verse 15. I am very sore displeased with the nations that are at ease. Again, this word is goyim. It's not heathen. God doesn't have a word heathen. It's nations. So he says, I am very displeased with the nations that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. In other words, my children did disobey me. I scattered them out. I sowed them among the nations so that I can call them back home. But the nations, they didn't treat them right. It's like you have a little child and you might just, you know, paddle them a little bit or you'll correct them. But if someone comes along with a rod and starts beating them,
you're not
happy about it. And that's God's position with the nations. He's not happy about it. Let's turn now to Isaiah 41. And I'm trusting that you do have your Bible there. And we're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 41. And we're going to look at this coming back home again. Isaiah 41. And we're going to look at verse 8. Isaiah 41, 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, whom I've taken from the ends of the earth and called you from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, you are my servant, I have chosen you and not cast you away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, and here you come to the judgment of the nations, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear thou not, I will help thee. And these chapters are all about his bringing them home as a witness. Where is Hitler in the Third Reich that was supposed to last for 1,000 years? Nowhere. They have come to nothing.
Yeah.
But, praise the Lord, glory be to God.
Well, now, Billy, there seems to be a very short line on Israel's side to me.
Short.
Is that right?
It is very short
among the nations. It's like the whole world, except the United States is...
United Nations? European Union? The European Union has totally financed the Palestinian state. Now, God loves the Palestinians. He loves every nation on this earth. He wants them to serve him. But here's how you're supposed to do it. You don't get to make up your own rules. You don't get to choose your own land. Acts chapter 17 says he divides the borders. He didn't give to the Jews all the land. But what he gave them, he gave them. Now, they could be strangers within the gate. Now, I want to go, before we have to quit here, to, I'm telling you, you talk about scriptures that can hang you. What about this one? This is Joel chapter 3. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, when he brings them back, the last days that we're in right now, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Shaphat is the Hebrew word for judge. Jehoshar, that's Jehovah, and this literally means Jehovah will judge. Now, here is the criteria for his judgment. I will plead or indict them there, it says in the Hebrew. Who? The nations. I will indict them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. In the Hebrew it says, one translation, my land they divided. So this is speaking of the very last, really, of the judgment time, of the tribulation. He's going to gather all the nations together, and he's going to say, I brought the Jews home, and what did you say about it? In my heritage, my land, what did you do about it? Now you're going to know a judgment. And the judgment's coming from Jehovah himself. And the judgment bar is, you divided my land. Israel, as we know it today, is not the whole Israel promised in the Bible, but it's the size of New Jersey. Now, if you take out what the world calls the West Bank, then that is a Delaware bite size out of it and leaves Israel only 9 or 10 miles wide in some places. We have a book they could send for the mountains of Israel that explains all of this in it really well. But it's, listen up. Even listen up, State Department.
That's right.
It doesn't matter who you are. You are not allowed to divide that land.
That's right. This is really important. That might be part of the truth that we pray for our authorities to know.
Yes, it is.
Truth.
How to act.
Billy and I'll be right back.
How can I make more money?
Why do I feel so alone?
Is God really there?
What questions are you asking? Get your answers in a Holy Spirit-charged atmosphere at the 2004 West Coast Believers Convention, June 28th through July 3rd, at the Anaheim Convention Center in Anaheim, California. For more information, visit kcm.org or call 1-800-359-0075.
Are you ready? It's time for the 2004 West Coast Believers Convention. So get up, turn that TV off, and join me, Commander Kelly, Commander Dana, and Commander Linda, because we're bringing Super Kid Academy to you, West Coast. Join us in Anaheim, California on June the 28th through July the 3rd. That's for ages 6 through 12, and we'll be at the Anaheim Convention Center. And I just have one question for you. Are you ready?
You need to get this book. It goes in detail, much more detail than what Billy's able to do on the broadcast, and it'll make it really clear to you. It's important that we know God's plan so that we stay in agreement with Him, because mm-hmm. this is not the time to be disagreeing with God.
Mm-mm.
And it's important that you and your church and others know it. Now, we're going to give you an opportunity today to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. When you read the Bible and you see how all these prophecies fit together over thousands of years, and you realize that God has a plan for you, just you, out of all the people in the earth, He's got a plan for every individual person. He's got a plan for you. But if you never make Jesus the Lord of your life and come into, that's the way you come into the plan he's got. And it's good. He only makes good plans for
his
people.
Covenant-keeping God.
But you've got to get into his way and make him, make Jesus the Lord of your life. So I want to lead you in that prayer today. And if you want to change, you have to make a change. Now, Billy and I and millions of others can testify that we've never been the same since we prayed this prayer in one form or another. Mm-hmm. Because it got us into God's plan, and it got God into our plan. I mean, he works with us and helps us and blesses us. So just say this. Say, Jesus,
I make you the Lord of my life.
I make you the Lord of my life. I choose you, Lord. And recognize you as my Savior. I want to change my path. To be on your path for me. Your plan for me, Lord. I make you, Lord. I expect to know the plan. I expect to grow in you. And I give you all of myself and all of my life. Thank you, dear Jesus. That's all you got to do in one form or another is put yourself in the Lord's hands. Give Jesus your life. He is the Savior, and he's not called that for naught. Mm-hmm. Now, we have some books we want to give you to help you get started about righteousness. You're born righteous when you're born again, how to study the Bible. Now we're in Christ Jesus. Love, the Spirit of God, how to receive the Holy Spirit. We want you to have these free. You just write us. We want to know about it. It thrills us so much to know that you've come to the Lord. That's what we're here for. This is Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for being a part of today's Believer's Voice of Victory. To request this teaching on audio or video cassette, visit us at kcm.org. Or you can call us toll-free. Ask for the program number on your screen. Remember to order your copy of today's special product, The Mountains of Israel, The Bible and the West Bank, a book that is acclaimed on five continents as a must-read publication on the Arab-Israeli conflict. The author, Norma Parrish Archbold, has a deep and abiding love for Israel, not only for the land, but for the people as well. Order The Mountains of Israel, The Bible and the West Bank for only $9.95. Offer number T040605. Go to kcm.org and order online, or call us toll-free at 1-800-575-4455. You can use your charge card or personal check when ordering online or over the phone. And as always, you can write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Take a week off and soak in God's presence with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar at these life-changing conventions. First, head out to sunny California for the Great West Coast Believers Convention, June 28th through July 3rd at the Anaheim Convention Center in Anaheim, California. Then it's time to head to where the West begins, in Fort Worth, Texas, for the Southwest Believers Convention, August 2nd through 7th at the Fort Worth Convention Center. Finally, head to Green Bay, Wisconsin for the Great Lakes Believers Convention, August 17th through 21st at the Resch Center in Shopko Hall. Don't forget to bring the kids. Super Kid Academy will be in session with Commander Kelly at all of these 2004 Believers Conventions. For more information on these or any other Kenneth Copeland Ministry meetings, visit us on the web at www.kcm.org or call 1-800-359-0075. Again, 1-800-359-0075.